Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to this bi-week and Labor Day weekend. Okay, I guess we had a little problem connecting there. Okay, some technical difficulties here, but I want to welcome you all to another bi-weekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you live from Boston, Massachusetts on Labor Day weekend on September the 6th. And tomorrow is Labor Day. So I want to wish you a happy Labor Day, and I hope you've had a chance to relax and deal with the all of the issues that are facing us. It's September the 6th, and we got a lot to cover, and we lost some time there, but let's see if we can catch up. I'm going to go quickly over the latest on the coronavirus pandemic statistics. The global figures are infected 27,264,967. Active 7,026,449. Number of deaths 886,969, and the recovered a huge number of 19,351,449. In the USA, total infected 6,657,157, and the active are 2,543,561. The deaths 193,205, and the recovered 3,720,341. So it looks like they're somewhat leveling off, but some bad news for India. India has passed Brazil as the number two in total cases. Brazil is still number two after us in the number of deaths. So we have to deal with this horrible pandemic, and don't let it get you down. Remember that slogan, when life throws lemons at you, learn to make lemonade. All right, now I want to mention that primary day. By the way, the temperature at airtime here in Boston was 66 degrees, and the call-in number, if you'd like to call in and talk, is 914-803-4379. 914-803-4379. And the chat room is open if you're in there. There's no one there now, but it's such a late hour, and even though tomorrow's a holiday, they may be busy with different things. But if somebody comes in and you come in, you'll have somebody to talk to. Now, we had some news on September 1st here in Massachusetts was primary day. We didn't have much of a choice in on September the 1st, Tuesday, but I'll talk a little about the experience I had with mail-in voting, and that'll be in a little while. And also, Saturday, September the 5th, believe it or not, they had the Kentucky Derby. Normally, the Kentucky Derby is in the on the last Saturday in May, but due to the virus, it has been postponed until September the 5th. And I guess there was some protest going on. It seems like wherever there's any kind of an event, the protesters show up and many times create a lot of havoc, violence, and destroy the properties of the cities where they take place. The big one, of course, was recently in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And I read a report saying that the majority of those arrested during the Kenosha protests came from out of state. It was 102 of the 175 arrested were from out of state. So this gives you a sense that this thing is orchestrated, and there's forces behind these riots in the various cities. Especially, we see what's happening in Portland and in Seattle, Chicago. Basically, these are cities where there is high leftist groups, and they tend to create havoc. They can't learn how to protest without creating violence, so they have to resort to violence. And now, as they say there in Kenosha, they've arrested 102 of the 175. And of course, these people should be given harsh penalties, maybe jail time, and they need to be watched to see if they repeat these offenses. It is not the American way to deal with problems. We have to discuss them and use our system of fair play to resolve them. There is a video I want to play in this regard. It's a new, I was trying to determine whether it was a video game or a movie, but regardless of what it is, it has to do with the issues of the day here. I can find it. It's called Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. I think they have a lot of video games under that title, but this one, they have one that came out at the end of August called Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. And I'm just going to play the trailer here, see if you can get anything from it. But it has to do with what many of us believe is happening, that this is a movement by forces that do not have our best interests at heart. Here we go.
Process, which we call active measure. demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. The next stage is destabilization. What matters is essentials: economy, foreign relations, defense systems. The next stage is crisis.
Now you can look that up on the internet by going to Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. It reveals how the left has co-opted Soviet tactics. And that voice you heard was a voice of a KGB defector, Yuri Bezmenov, who warns us years ago. I've heard the video many years ago, and we can see it being played out now. The Soviets, or the Marxists, now are using these tactics similar to the playing a chess game, where they, little by little, they move the their activities until they have the country in checkmate. So we have to be wise as serpents and yet innocent or harmless as doves, and not allow this to happen, and make sure we vote and protest in a peaceful way, and do not give your money to forces that are for our working to our detriment. So that, I won't play the rest of that because I've lost some time, but it's pretty bad. The four steps I won't mention are demoralization, they demoralize the youth in the schools, demoralization through the attacks on the church, on the family. The second step is destabilization, try to destabilize the country through the economy, or maybe even the virus. Various methods. We have to be careful of overreacting, but just be wise as serpents and remain harmless as doves, and ask for help from above, and you'll be able to determine what these things are all about. And the third step is crisis. It looks like we may be nearing the crisis stage now, with the either the virus or the economy. We have lots of problems in the economy with the way the Federal Reserve has been acting and printing money and thinking that there can be no adverse consequences. We also see China now getting rid of their treasuries. They're one of the largest holders of our treasury bills and notes and bonds. And if they get rid of them, then who's going to buy them? It leaves basically only the Federal Reserve, and this is not a good situation, ladies and gentlemen, but we have to make sure we stay focused and get the right people in office and turn this thing around. I had the experience of voting on primary day, Tuesday, September the 1st, and I did it by mail-in voting. There's a lot of concern about mail-in voting. But since this particular election is not a big one and there was only one race that I could vote for, because we didn't even have candidates for some of the state rep and state senate and other races, we only had a battle for the U.S. Senate race, and I am Republican. In the primary, selected the Republican ballot, but I voted by mail. I got a letter from the election department to submitted it for an application. I did that a month after I got it, and I got the application and brought it to the post office, and eventually it was accepted by doing a tracking device on the computer. I could track that they had accepted it, and then I went down to my local voting place on September the 1st. And I know someone down there, and they told me I couldn't vote because they had a record that I had already voted, so they knew that I had voted by mail. So the system seemed to work, but then we don't really know what happens to the vote that I mailed in. And we don't even know when you vote in person whether or not the votes are tabulated properly. So we basically need to tighten up our voting procedures and put in controls that will make sure there's no fraudulent voting, that we don't hear about dead people voting and illegals voting, and the whole thing needs to be reformed. I know Judicial Watch is doing a lot of work on the voting list to make sure that they are properly documented and properly listing people that have a right to vote. All right, well, I want to read you some statistics on the financial end. The Dow closed at 28,133.31. That was up from 2 weeks ago. The NASDAQ, which has been on a tear, was up a little bit from 2 weeks ago at 313.13. And the S&P were also up 3,426.96. The Dow was approaching 30,000 again when it had some pullback in the past week or so. Many of us feel that its equities are overvalued and that real estate is overvalued, and it's all due to the activities of the Federal Reserve. And I encourage you to listen to Peter Schiff, the economist. His podcast can be accessed by going to schiffradio.com. That's S-C-H-I-F-F, and that's not Adam Schiff, that's Peter Schiff. Schiffradio.com, and listen to his podcast, ladies and gentlemen. You'll get a lot of good information from it. You don't have to agree with all of it, but it's worth listening to. Looks like we have some people in the chat room, so if you want to come in there, and I think I got a call-in number, too. Let me see if I can access that. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Welcome
Hello?
To the show. Yes, welcome to the show. Have you got some good subjects to talk about?
I just want to talk about how...
I can't hear you too well. I have to speak up a little bit.
Oh, I was calling this about how bad our economy's gone to shit.
What?
I was talking about how bad our economy's gone to shit.
Our economy is in very bad shape, and
yeah.
Most of us believe that it has a lot to do with the Federal Reserve. So they're printing money, and they are now changing their stance on the maintaining a 2% inflation rate, while they're saying now it can be averaged. It only has to be an average of 2%, so they can allow the inflation interest rates to be higher. So what do you think of that approach?
I think it's pretty terrible, if you ask me.
They're doing what?
I think it's pretty terrible, if you ask me.
Pretty terrible?
Yeah. Yeah, you got these people that go out there on freaking food stamps and shit, and they go out and get all the food they want. And this don't have any effect on them, but if you're over here, have to pay out of pocket.
Yeah, we have a very bad connection. By the way, what city and state are you calling from?
I'm calling from Texas.
Where?
That might be why the connection's so bad.
That's a little better. What city and state?
I'm out there in Bowie, Texas.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry for this, but I can't hear you. So,
I'm calling from Bowie, Texas.
You're from Texas? Oh,
yeah.
I go to some chat rooms where there's people from Texas. And is Texas going to stay with the president?
I'm hoping so. I don't like that other guy too much. Sniffs on kids
yep.
and shit. You like to
yeah, I think we know what we're
going to
get with the Democrats. We can see what they're doing, promoting all this Antifa and... Globalism, and we don't need that. We need to return to our basics. The founders gave us a wonderful constitution, and we need to
yeah.
stay with that.
Stop biting these hooked noses.
I wish I could
everything.
Talk to you a little better, but we're having such a bad time with this connection. It's probably my phone. But I'm going to have to get somebody else. I'm going to see what they have to say.
All right.
And,
take it easy, my friend.
You too. Have a good month of September.
Thank you. You too, my friend.
All right, bye-bye. Hello?
Yes, hi. This is Randy Anderson. Thank you for taking my call.
What city and state are you calling from, Randy?
San Diego, California.
Abel, California?
San Diego.
Oh, San Diego, the home of Ted Williams.
There we go.
He's a
Ted Williams
famous
Parkway.
Famous Red Sox player.
That's right.
So
that's right. Okay. A couple questions for you. First and foremost, because of the amount of money that the Federal Reserve is printing, and I'm just waiting for the other foot to drop. When do you think we're going to do you think we will experience hyperinflation in the near future?
Well, that's a great question. I know I listen to Peter Schiff quite a bit, and I'd recommend you tune into him, PeterSchiffRadio.com. But as far as my own view, I think we're heading for more inflation. There are people that are talking deflation. I don't see it. The definition of inflation is basically the expansion of the money supply, and there's no doubt that the money supply is expanding. Whether we see it in price inflation, we have seen it in the stock market and in the real estate market over the years, and those are inflated. The stock market is probably overvalued. Houses are overvalued. I'm in Boston, and condominiums here are like $400,000 for a one-bedroom condominium. And
let me ask you this. This is kind of one of the issues that I'm having. My wife and I were looking to purchase a home here in California, which is no less than $500,000. Whether it's a condominium or a home in a bad area of San Diego. And I'm kind of torn because I'm on one hand, I'm looking at, you know, do I purchase not knowing, because I know it's high. I know it's at the high end of the market right now. But do I purchase right now when it's on the high end of the market and expect hyperinflation to hit and just say, screw it, I'll just, you know, ride it out? Or do I wait and then get screwed because I end up because hyperinflation hits and then the homes are unattainable?
Well, you are renting right now?
Correct.
Well, with the election coming up, that might be a time to wait until we see what happens to the real estate market. It may be some correction on the downward side, and you could keep your powder dry. At least until the election.
When I'm ready to pull the trigger, if you would, right?
Yeah, and of course a lot of people are moving out of California.
There's a mass exodus. Mass exodus to North Carolina, Idaho, some of these other tax-friendly states. Let me ask you one more question. I don't want to take up any more of your time. What do you think I should be investing in? I know the stock market is very volatile at the moment. I am looking at purchasing silver more than I am gold, but I've been purchasing quite a bit of silver.
You know, I cannot give investment advice, but I can say that silver is the gold-silver ratio is very favorable for silver. It takes about 70 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold, and
sure,
traditionally it's been like 40 ounces. So I personally am investing in silver. And they have the silver mining companies. Those can be looked at, but I would encourage you to tune in to Peter Schiff. He is an investment advisor, and I find him to be very knowledgeable and spot on. I've pretty much followed him and done okay with his view.
Really?
How do you
spell that name?
Peter Schiff, S-C-H-I-F-F. You've heard of Adam Schiff?
Peter Schmidt, S-M-I-T.
No, S-S-S-C-H-I-F-F.
S, Schifn. Okay.
.com. Schiffradio.com. Schiffradio.com. His name is Peter Schiff.
What? Tony Schiff. Okay.
No, his
Tony
name is
Schiff.
Peter Schiff. No, Peter.
Peter, and then it's S-H-I-T. Is that what you're saying? Because
Now you're playing games. So I got to go. I'm running out of time. But
Peter Schiff?
Hang in there. Because
I
have
not
to cut
Peter
you
Schiff,
off now.
Right?
I'm running.
I don't,
have a few minutes.
Because I'm trying to get a website from you, and it seems as if you're trying to cut me off. I thought you just said Peter Schiff, and I'm not trying to play games. I just want
to
know the website.
Okay, well, we're running out of time, ladies and gentlemen. I just wanted to say the next show will be on September the 20th on Blog Talk Radio. The president's approval ratings have done better. He's at 44.3, and his disapproval is at 52.8, but it's improved over the previous 2 weeks. So let's hang in there, and we'll see you in 2 weeks on Blog Talk Radio on September 20th, 2020. God bless you all, and God bless America. Good night, everyone. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bostonian, host of The Money Show, with the non-live portion of the show, 15 minutes of yours truly talking. We had somebody playing games in the at the end of the first half hour, calling in, acting like he was concerned about issues, and then making remarks that showed just the opposite. But anyway, no call-ins now. If you want to make notes about tonight's show, you can call in next 2 weeks from now, which will be September 20th, and we'll be getting into the fall season on, I believe, September 21st. So we got one more show for the summer. The summer's been kind of mild here, no really red hot days, but no, pretty much mild, nice weather, high 70s, low 80s. I know a lot of states like Nevada and Texas might appreciate having some of our weather here. We've always been kind of famous for having four distinct seasons of winter, spring, summer, and fall. So right now I want to talk about the issues that I missed there in the previous show, previous live portion. Gold closed at $1,934.80. It was down from 2 weeks ago, and silver at $26.93, which was up. And the unemployment rate dropped down to 8.4, and this may be because of the census workers that are out on the streets taking these census, which they do every 10 years, and so that probably was somewhat of a reason for the unemployment rate dropping. I also heard that gas prices are pretty low right now too for those that are traveling on this Labor Day weekend. So right now I want to play a clip of one of my favorite people, and He's the pastor and attorney, Scott Lively, who we supported for governor of Massachusetts. And if I can find his link. Here we go. So he's going to talk about what the prediction that he's going to make, and that is a Trump mega landslide, not just a landslide, but a mega landslide. And I think he's basing it on what people in the country are seeing happening in these cities that are controlled by Democratic mayors and Democratic governors in certain states. So let's see his views, and you can always find his articles and posts on his website, which is scottlively.net. It's very easy to remember. Scott Lively, LIVELY.net. So here we go with him predicting a Trump mega landslide.
Indications at the present time and the public conversation that people are having about this issue is that this is going to be some kind of a close race. The Democrats are already sort of, you know, creating the situation where they want a repeat of Bush Gore and, you know, hanging chads and all that. They're counting on being able to create chaos by forcing mail-in ballots and then delaying the vote counting process so they can spin the uncertainty, right? But all that stuff only works if it's really close. And frankly, the methods of cheating that they use really only work when there's a close race. That's the role of the polling and the media, to always make the race seem a lot closer than it is. So that if it comes down to winning by cheating, then it's plausible. But the amount of cheating that's possible to be done in an election is they can't pull off, they can't cheat with 40% bad votes. You know, it doesn't work that way. There's not that many dead people that they can count on. And what's really interesting in all this is, this may be another situation where Trump is setting up the left to be exposed criminality, is that mail-in ballots represent a legal opportunity for vote fraud prosecutions that usually don't exist at the state level in the same way. And that is, vote by mail brings in mail fraud statutes that that are well used. This is a well-traveled path of prosecuting people for mail by engaging in criminality through the mails. So anyway, that's a whole different dimension. My focus and the reason that I believe it's essentially just a gut feeling at this point, but there are some things that lend themselves to this conclusion that it's going to be a mega landslide. First of all, my rule of thumb always is to add 5% to the conservative side whenever there's an election. The media, for whatever reason, either just the bias of the pollsters, the way the questions are asked, the population that's sampled, all that, there always seems to be about a 5% difference between what they say is going to happen and what actually happens as a rule of thumb. But in this situation, where we've been subjected, and by the time the election occurs in November, we'll have been subjected for months upon months of anti-Trump propaganda tied together with cancel culture, in which the number of people willing to respond honestly in a polling situation, even one that is supposedly anonymous, is going to be very, very different than a normal situation. And there's something about human psychology. I speak boldly and plainly. I don't care. And I've been this way. But there aren't that many people that are like that. Most people, when you put them in a situation where they face the prospect of pain and suffering for standing up for what they believe, they'll keep their mouth shut, right? They'll smile and pretend to go along, and then they engage in passive-aggressive behavior to get revenge on those who put them in that situation. We're talking about a vast number of people in the United States of America right now that fit into that category, that are being essentially forced by the manipulation of these totalitarian Marxist governors and mayors and media figures and even the Chamber of Commerce now, you know, the way all this is coming down, the sports leagues. The whole country's being sort of forced into groupthink, leftist groupthink and political correctness. And I think there's a huge number of people that are basically nodding, going along with it, you know, mouthing Black Lives Matter and all kinds of other things. And inside, they're seething with anger about being manipulated, being forced into that situation, not being able to make their own decisions, not being able to just speak freely without fear of consequences. And so that's going to be another major factor. I also look at what happened with the situation with Ronald Reagan. In so many ways, Donald Trump and the Trump administration is just a repeat of the situation that occurred with Ronald Reagan. He was a populist who broke the mold and bucked the globalist system, and everyone was predicting in his second election that he was going to get trounced. But he not only won, he won by a large margin. Ronald Reagan took Massachusetts. In fact, he took it twice. He took it both elections. And Donald Trump has more appeal than Ronald Reagan. And the contrast of the Republican and Democrat candidate in this particular case is more stark than was the case during the 1980s. When Ronald Reagan won twice. These are all factors that are in play, and I'm going out on a limb here. I'm saying it's going to be a mega landslide. I think that by on November 4th, it's going to be so obvious that Donald Trump won the election that the entire Democrat scam and scheme that they're preparing right now to try to leverage a perceived close election into some kind of civil chaos, I don't think that it's going to work. I just don't think it's going to work. And we still even haven't seen Trump fight back yet. He has been allowing the Democrats to engage in this Antifa BLM rioting and all that with some response, very, very restrained response, so that the population of America sees what Marxism is really about, and they're seeing it. And now the radicals are moving into the suburbs. They're threatening people. They're waking them up in the middle of the night. The unfairness of media coverage, the outrageous bias in the way that victims are being treated in terms of shooting victims and all that. That if they're black, they get splashed across the top above the fold on the headlines. If they're white, they get just simply ignored, right? That's outright racism. At the time when racism is supposedly the most important criteria for the election, then you've got the situation with the rapidly deteriorating mental state of Joe Biden and the hyper-radical Kamala Harris, right? Just completely aligned with the radicals on the street. All that's going to work against the Democrats. And then you've got single Democrat constituency, drawing people across that the black vote support, voter support for Trump is higher than it's ever been before, and climbing. I mean, I don't like the position that he's taken on the homosexual issue, but he's drawing people that would otherwise that care about that issue over to the Republican side, for better or worse. I think for the worse. But in every case, even the feminists, even the radical feminists, the most hardcore central constituency of the Democrat Party, because of the transgender issue of the women's sports, right, that the radical left is now championing men posing as women in women's sports, that's got the feminists infuriated. They've been thrown under the bus in favor of the cutting edge of the Marxist revolution, and I think even some of them are going to vote for Donald Trump. They're not going to talk about it, but that's what's going to happen. So anyway, that's my take. I believe it's going to be a mega landslide, not just a landslide. So that's all I got for you this morning. God bless you, and I'll talk to you next time.
Well, that was a wonderful post by the pastor and attorney, and let's pray that this comes to fruition and that the president does spend another 4 years in the Oval Office. So I got to go. Good night, everyone. God bless you. And as I end with this song, you know what it is by now, but here we go.